And very excited we have with us today William R. Patterson. He has shared the stage with billionaires, presidential candidates, and Fortune 100 CEOs. What I'm seeing is that you're giving us what I would call a short-term and long-term strategy here. There's things here can make a difference in my business like now, in the next 30, 60, 90 days.
The reason this is so important and creates an exit strategy, this can actually double or triple the value of your company.
So William R. Patterson joins us on The Drive Home. It's your trusted source for wealth and business education.
Our guest this week, William R. Patterson, award-winning lecturer and national best-selling author.
He is a business and finance guru.
William Patterson, Chicagoan extraordinaire.
I'm going to go to William Patterson, and we couldn't have you on a better day.
Losing a home to foreclosure is now almost as common for families as buying a home. But you say this is the best time in 50 years to buy a home or an apartment or an office building.
One of the things that I really appreciate that you're doing is you go out into the community and undress the predatory lending industry.
Talking about money, economics, finances, with one of the best minds in the business,
William Patterson. He is renowned wealth coach and national best-selling co-author of The Barren Son. Breakthrough book has been featured in the Forbes Book Club and Black Enterprise Magazine. His website, BarrenSeries.com, is winner of the 2008 Web Awards for Best Speaker, Best Male Author, and Best Wealth Building Site. He is ranked as the number one business motivational speaker.
This is Frank Giraffoli with the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show.
Frank, it's an absolute pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, absolutely, man. Great to have you here. William, tell you what, before we kind of jump into kind of all the meat and potatoes stuff, I would like you, if you don't mind, could you share with us a little kind of your background of where you came from, what got you to what you're doing today, you know, writing this book, and obviously helping all the people that you're doing. I think your background's pretty fascinating, so can you share that with us a little bit?
I started off actually as an electrical engineer, and I later figured out that the closer you got to the bottom line, the more impact and the more influence you had in the company. So I later moved into the financial arena, worked for a brief time on Wall Street for some top investment banking firms and consulting firms, and later decided to do my own thing. I went out and launched the Warkoffer Capital Group, as you mentioned. We are a commercial real estate investment company. We also do consulting projects on the merger and integration side.
Yep.
And in the late 90s, early 2000, two of my co-authors, Vicki Therese Davis and D. Marcus Patton, and I decided to write a book called The Barren Son. It was a very difficult time, similar to how we are right now,
yep,
where people were struggling to rebuild after the stock market had crashed, and they were looking for some ethical ways to accelerate their path to success. And that's what The Barren Son was designed to be, an ethical roadmap to wealth, power, and success.
Well, isn't this, when you become an electrical engineer, isn't this the regular career path, electrical engineer, then you become an author and a motivational speaker? Is that the normal way that works, or what?
I mean, absolutely. It's all problem solving. And in this type of environment, if you can solve problems, there's no recession.
That's
so
it.
It's always about solving problems and creating value.
Well, and I think that's really key. And I joke about, but the reality is what it tells me, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, is if somebody's coming from an electrical engineering background, that tells me you're a very analytical, very methodical person. And the fact that you could actually turn that into a book and to motivational speaking tells me you have a great creative flair. And what I've seen, you know, I've been in this industry for 20 years doing consulting and coaching and speaking and all, and I can tell you, and I'm sure you've seen the people, there's a lot of people who are great speakers or motivators or whatever out there, but a lot of times they don't have the content, or what I call the meat and potatoes. When people come, they leave kind of feeling good, but they have nowhere to go with it. And I know from your book and what you've been doing that obviously you're a very analytical person, so there's a strategy, a methodology to how to accomplish success, not just talking about it. Am I on base there or no?
You're absolutely right. There are really two things. You definitely need to be able to inspire people to connect with the emotional needs that they have, but you also need to be able to deliver when it comes to the strategy and the detailed implementation. And that, the holistic approach that's really necessary to take people to a new level of success personally and also with their businesses.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the fact that you come from a financial background, which is kind of funny. Now, I got to have to ask another kind of a, I guess, silly question. You don't have to tell me who it was, but you work with a couple of the big firms down on Wall Street. Do they still exist? Have they merged? After you left, did they blow it, or what went on there?
No, actually, I work for the premier firm there, so they're still standing tall. And of course, there is a lot of downsizing that's going on
sure.
on Wall Street. Tens of thousands of financial professionals have left. So unfortunately, there's no one to tell people to buy.
Yep. William, what I want to talk about today is we've got people out there, small business, medium-sized business owners, listening to the show, and we're always talking about on the show of, like, look, the recession is a mindset. You know, you just have to use this phrase, I refuse to participate in the recession, right? So it can be going on out there. The reality is it doesn't have to be going on inside your four walls. All the rest of the world can have it going on, but you don't have to have it going on there. And in fact, in this type of environment, in any change in the environment or the economy, it means that there's opportunities there if people know how to look at it that way and take advantage of those opportunities. So we're going to take a break in about 30 seconds to a minute, okay? But give me your two cents. Now, I mean, what do you see, that a little teaser, if you will, of what do you think that we need to talk about when we get back from break here in the next 20 or so minutes so people can get some real great value out of it? What is your opinion that we need, where do we need to go?
As Charles Dickens would say, it's a tale of two cities. It's the best of times and it's the worst of times. And there certainly are huge opportunities. And when we come back, we are going to talk about seven great tips that small business owners can use to recession-proof their businesses.
I love it. So, hey, everybody, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break in just a second. We've got William R. Patterson with us here. He's a best-selling author of The Barren Son. Welcome back, everybody. This is Frank Durafley with the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show, and appreciate your being with us here today. We've got with us today William R. Patterson, the author of The Barren Son and the CEO of The Barren Solutions Group. We're talking today. He's going to share with us some principles on what is it you need to be doing in this type of economy to bring your business to a greater level of success. So, William, again, I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you.
Me too. I'm happy to have you here, man. So let me ask you the question. Here's the question really going for is we've got entrepreneurs listening right now, business owners listening, and they're out there saying, you know, hopefully what they're asking is, how do I thrive in this recession, not how do I survive? And we've talked about mindset and doing those different types of things. But I think, you know, from your book and from the work that you do, that you can have some great knowledge of them. So I'm going to ask you the question we ask everybody. From your perspective, what do you think the most important thing or things are for an entrepreneur to be doing right now to bring their business to a greater level of success?
I would always say the number one thing that you should do is to get help from experts.
Okay.
We have so many small business owners who are trying to reinvent the wheel. But really, when you bring in the experts, they can help you anticipate, mitigate, and profit from some of the risks out there. We are looking at a number of complex factors that many small business owners have never seen. When you're looking at the volatile financial markets, the tight credit, volatile inflation, fuel and commodity prices, many of these are complex situations that most small business owners don't know how to deal with. But when you bring in experts who can help you identify and capitalize on some of the actionable market insights, the best practices, the business accelerators, these things can mean the difference between severe losses for a small business owner and six or seven figure profit.
You know, I think that I can't even tell you how powerful I think that is that you're saying, and I think is for entrepreneurs listening, you cannot get a stronger piece of advice, because I am the poster child for being the pig-headed person that said, I can do it on my own. I don't have to do that. You know, started my first business in college, got out, said I was going to do it on my own, didn't want to read anything, listen to anybody, and man, I made so many mistakes. But there's so much good information out there, like the work that you're doing, people can get things off the web, and by getting people to help them, you can cut out so much time and get great just to the results without having to do all the same mistakes. So I really appreciate your saying that.
You're absolutely right there. Most people don't realize the value of their time, and they think that they're saving a few dollars, but really a person can share some accelerators and some tools that can get you to your goals a lot faster. And the other big issue, and you kind of pointed to it earlier, is that they need to avoid those big cost-cutting mistakes. So often you have the small business owner who's asking, how can I cut costs? But they really should be asking, how can I increase and sustain profitability? And the
yep.
answer to that question may not be cutting costs, but actually increasing them. So that's the number one thing that you want to do. And if you do really need to cut costs, you may want to explore restructuring or consolidating debts to lower interest rate terms, and also consolidating those non-business critical functions to, let's say, the same vendor where you may be able to get a lower price. But these are the things that you should be looking at. Again, how can I increase and sustain profitability, not how can I cut costs?
And William, what I'm hearing you say, and tell me if I'm wrong, is cutting costs is supposed to be something that we're doing like monthly or quarterly. We should be looking at our expenses in our business, seeing where things are at, having, if we have it, a CFO or a person in charge of our accounting or bookkeeping, looking at our stuff and saying, okay, where can we be always saving money in what we're doing, shaving some costs? But the reality is, if I'm hearing you right, in this type of environment, is you don't want to go kind of in a negative way saying, let's cut more costs. But the reality is, look, let's really look at this and say, okay, how can I take advantage of this market? And we're entrepreneurs here. We're sales professionals. sales. How can we go and increase our volume of sales? If we need more money, let's go make more money. We're not going to make it by just cutting costs. Am I going the right direction here?
Totally true. Obviously, there are two ways to boost the bottom line. You either bring in more revenue or you reduce costs.
Yep.
And if there's only so far that you can reduce costs before you start cutting bone and
you start
this death spiral. So obviously, the big ideal way is to boost the revenue, and that's the top line. So that's really what we want to focus people on, is how can I create greater value for my customers and my clients so that we can boost the bottom line and maintain a reasonable expense ratio.
Okay, I just want you to know I'm falling in love with you as the show's going on here, because you're like saying everybody, it's not just me saying this, William's saying it now. Okay, so we got number one, get help from experts, avoid those cost-cutting mistakes. What do you think is the next thing?
The next thing is build up that cash reserve. Okay. During an economic downturn, it's vital that you have sufficient cash so that you can handle any emergencies that pop up, as well as take advantage of new investment opportunities. And obviously, the cash reserve is going to vary by industry, but you do want to make sure that you have enough cash on hand to, again, take care of any emergencies as well as handle investment opportunities.
Okay. Do you have any, because I know it varies probably by different businesses, whatever else. Do you personally have any type of a philosophy or theory of, hey, let's say I'm making some good money in my business, what should I be keeping in the bank? Is it 1 month's expenses, 3 months' expenses, 6 months' expenses? I mean, do you have a general formula or advice for that, or does it vary from business to business, you feel?
Well, it definitely varies from business to business, but there are a couple of things that you want to look at.
Okay.
It's going to vary by the industry, your access to capital and how prevalent that is. You're also going to look at your variable and non-recurring expenses, as well as some potential acquisitions and your earnings predictability. But you really want to look at your financial statements over the last 2 to 5 years and observe those historical business cash flow patterns and factor in any new potential risks. And I think that will give you a fairly good gauge as to how much cash you need to keep on hand.
And William, from an understanding, right, the way you're saying that is, if I'm looking at it, if I'm being strategic, like you're saying, in terms of looking at my past and then looking at my future, making assumptions based on what the environment looks like, that's not a matter of being negative what the environment is. The reality is the environment's the environment. The economy is the economy. But we have to be doing, saying, okay, here's what we see happening in the economy. We know things are going to get worse, whatever. So how do we strategically gear our business in terms of our marketing and sales so we're bringing in the profits that we want and where we're going forward? So if I'm hearing you, it's a matter of developing a strategy to deal with what's going out there and not be the victim of what's happening.
Definitely. And making sure that you have the safety net in place so that you don't become that vulnerable fish out there.
Yep. Okay, I'm with you. So I've got number one, get help from experts. Make sure you're avoiding those cost-cutting mistakes. Number two, build up cash reserve. What else do you think?
The next one is going to be to increase the predictability of your income.
Okay.
So in your business, you want to start to look for ways in which you can introduce more continuity programs into your business, whether those are moving more toward a subscription or a licensing service where you're bundling different products and services and offering those to your customers and requiring them to pay for it on a consistent basis, regular basis, or monthly basis, similar to how your cable service provider might provide a regular service, your cell phone provider. But you really want to start to move people more toward continuity models where you have more predictability with your income.
So would I also see this, if I'm understanding you right, would I also see this as if you have a business model that's you sell a certain product or whatever it is start to look at how can you diversify your income, develop other income streams that more something can maybe be, instead of getting your money right up front or you're done with the job and you're finished, now develop some type of products or services that you can get, like you're saying, a subscription base over time, and that's what the predictability is. So it may even be developing different or multiple streams of income?
Absolutely. Multiple streams of income are going to be key in this environment. When you look at any major corporation, they're going to have multiple line items of income, and they try to keep those expenses under control. That's really what you want to move to, is having the multiple streams of income. And we're going to talk about some different ways in which you can do that as well.
Cool. I'm excited. Okay, so let's go. So we've got get help from experts. We've got build cash reserve, increase predictability of income. What's next?
The next thing you want to do is to cater to your most profitable customers. As we all know, it's easier to keep the customers that you have than it is to go out and cheaper than it is to go out and find new customers. So you can certainly use surveys. You can certainly use different types of tools to figure out what your most profitable customers need and to come up with some niche and customized products that cater to them. That's going to be a way for you to increase not only the margins that you have, but it's also going to be a way to cater to those customers so that you can keep them for longer periods of time.
Okay, so we had number four, cater to your most profitable customers. So I said number four was cater to your most profitable customers. So for those that are listening out there, I said number four, cater. Everybody heard me say that, right? Now, and the reason I'm saying that, William, is we've been talking about this on the show, about customer service, increasing that, understanding it's much easier to work with the people that you have them refer you business, do more business with them than go out and just acquire a new. You should always be acquiring new, but taking care of those people. So I think what you're saying is so powerful in terms of, you know, look at if it's that top 5% or 10% or something along those lines, and saying if you're going to make, and if I'm understanding you right, if we're going to look at diversifying or increasing our income streams, maybe look at those top 5 or 10% first of our client base and saying, what would they want more of? And that will gear to everybody else. Is that a good way to do it or no?
That's a perfect way to do it.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right, so we're going the right direction here. So number one, get help from experts. Number two, build up cash reserve. Number three, increase predictability of income. Number four, cater to your most profitable customers. What's number five?
The next one is going to be strategic partnerships, whether these are product and service exchanges, these are joint ventures, affiliate programs, co-branded programs, or private label. And again, for people who may not be familiar with private label, that's just finding another product or service provider, and it allows you to put your brand on top of it, similar to how you might go into a grocery store and there's a store brand juice. The store doesn't manufacture juice, they just slap their label on top of it. You can do the same thing, and using the product and service exchanges, the joint ventures, the affiliate programs, the co-branded programs, and private label programs, this is going to be a way for you to increase your service line without increasing your cost. So this way, you have more products and services that you can sell to your most profitable customers as well as others. And this can really double or even triple your revenue.
You know what I love about what you're saying is that I'm thinking about people who are listening who own retail stores, people who are professionals in terms of accountants and attorneys and along those lines, and who offer all different types of the service providers that are out there. It could be plumbers and electricians and that type of thing. And they're used to selling what they're selling. And you're now giving them a whole different and creative way to think about, okay, if I'm going to diversify, like if I have a retail store, I say, okay, well, what else can I carry besides the 27 lines that I carry now or whatever it is? And we're saying something different than that. What you're saying is, look, you can look at, you know, so if I have Frank's retail store, now I can have, if I'm understanding you right, I can have Frank's retail soap. I can have Frank's retail, have my own name on that, which is next to the other competitors I have in my own shop, if you will. So now I have something that's branded, that's maybe more of a local brand with my name or the town's name or something like that on it, that makes it kind of different. Is that an idea of what you're talking about?
Absolutely. And the way that you can find the ideal product and service combinations, you want to ask yourself, what things do my customers or my clients need before, during, and after the time that they use my product or service? And you can kind of integrate, or what we call vertical integration or backward and forward integration, and you start to introduce those products. And again, you can do this without having to do the research and development on your own, because you're using other people's resources to do that, and you're just slapping your label and your brand on it, and it's seamless to your customers.
And I think what's really powerful for people to hear from what you're saying, William, is when you're saying there's these companies out there that manufacture this stuff, and they're happy to have you put your label on it, it comes like, why would they do that? Because you just become another distribution network for them, right? I'm going to go out and try and sell more product. I'm just going to use yours, put my name on, and I'm more motivated to sell more of this stuff because I got my own brand now. So for them, it's a win-win also, yes?
Terrific explanation, and that is exactly what people are looking for, and they need more distribution. Everyone's looking for more ways to sell products and services. They don't always need the credit.
Okay. Okay, yep, I got you on that. All right, so here's where we're at so far. Get help from experts is number one I got. Number two piece of advice you gave us was build up cash reserves. Number three, increase predictability of income. Four, cater to profitable customers, your most profitable customers. Five, develop those strategic partnerships, alliances. What do we have next?
The next one is going to be to look for opportunities to expand. In this market, you certainly have the opportunity to pick up deep discounts if you're buying in bulk. And also, think about some acquisitions here. You're going to see a lot of competitors who are in deep trouble, so you may have the opportunity to pick up a competitor and expand your business either through a merger or acquisition.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Here's what I want to do is we have, and we're going to go, you're going to give us one more tip. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're not going to give that tip right now. We're going to go. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to be back in a couple minutes with, William R. Patterson today, the author of The Barron's Son, CEO of the Barron Solutions Group, giving us a fantastic, some principles of how to get to greater success. Welcome back, everybody. Frank Gerathle, the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. We're talking with William R. Patterson, having a fantastic conversation today, and I hope everybody's getting this down because he's giving you some incredible advice today. He's summing up things that we've talked about over months, but he's doing it much better and has much better system and methodology. So again, William, thank you so much for sharing all this with us today.
My pleasure, always.
Okay, so we're at number 7. Here's what we left off at. I'll do my quick summary. Number 1, get help from the experts. Number 2, build up a cash reserve. Number 3, increase predictability of income. Number 4, cater to your most profitable customers. Number 5, develop strategic partnerships/ alliances. Number 6, look for opportunities to expand. And number 7.
Number 7 is improve your systems and business model.
Okay.
Now, when we begin to break this down, we want to look for ways in which we can automate certain processes and also ways in which we can create an exit strategy for the business. Now, when we talk about improving the business model, we want to make sure that we're looking at the system side of the business. Do we have systems in place that allow us to automate key functions in the business, and particularly those things that can be done by, let's say, lower wage labor?
Yep.
Or things that can be automated and done by systems and tools. Those are the things you really want to do. The reason this is so important is because it creates an exit strategy for you where you can now either franchise that system, license that system. So this can actually double or triple the sales value of your company as you are looking to exit that business or pass it on. So many small business owners are the business. They're doing everything. They wear all the hats.
Absolutely.
The knowledge base is locked in their head. But if you begin to, one, do the process development and the implementation, come up with those standard operating procedures, and you train other people in the processes and best practices of your business, you create an exit strategy, and particularly if you can define that as part of a manual.
You know, William, what I really love about what you've taught us here today is what I'm seeing is that you're giving us what I would call a short-term and long-term strategy here. There's things here that can start right out in terms of can make a difference in my business, like now, in the next 30, 60, 90 days. I can start to see results in my business if I'm following your system here. But also, it's building and it's giving me the long-term success that I'm looking for. What you're saying is you're building what I would call a value asset in your business, because for a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we're not the best at saving money for ourselves. But the reality is what we're doing is we're building up our retirement plan by the value of our business. And if we don't put that succession planning in place that you're talking about, meaning ready to get this business to be sold, so you as the entrepreneur are not the 90% value of the company, that basically you have to make yourself the 10% value, let the company exist on its own, that means it can sell for more. What I'm hearing from you is the more that your strategy helps develop that, so when somebody's, if they want to sell it after 5, 10, 20, 30 years, they have a true value asset. They have something they can sell, and now that's part of their retirement package. Am I going the right direction here?
You're absolutely right. So many entrepreneurs, we call this the pyramid or the prison decision.
Okay.
Everybody's building something. It's
yep.
Either your pyramid to glory or it's your prison. And every action that you take, you're laying that brick.
Yep.
And unfortunately, a lot of small business owners are their business, and every
yep.
action – The more successful they become, the harder they have to work. And we always say that if you're self-employed, being self-employed is the key to having a heart attack. Being a true entrepreneur with a business model is the key to becoming wealthy. So these are the things that you want to focus on.
You know what I find is pretty funny is over the years, and I've seen people who wanted to sell their business, and you're probably seeing the same thing. You can tell me if you've seen this as well. Is the people that tend to own their own businesses that actually have a value asset there. They have some good client base. They have your reputation, whatever else. They've never thought about, you know, what the value of their business is. It just provided them a living for X number of years. And then they're ready to get out of it, and they think, yeah, I'm going to let somebody else take it over. I'm going to walk away. They never think of actually selling it. There's a value there. But then on the other end, I have those people who their business is worth nothing, and they want to sell it and make $1 million for it. So it seems like the wrong people have the wrong ideas. Is it just me coming across those people, or have you seen those people too?
Absolutely. And particularly also being in the private equity side as well, where we do staged investments in private businesses, you have a lot of entrepreneurs who show up looking for investment capital, and there's no business there.
Yep.
It's only the entrepreneur.
Yep.
So, again, if you're looking to expand your business or eventually create an exit strategy for the business, you need to have systems and you need to have people in place so that it can run without you.
So, Lim, here's what I want to do. I want to turn this around right now, and I want to get focused on you for a second, because you've shared a lot of great stuff with us here today. I know there's people that are listening right now saying, like, wow, this sounds really good. This is exactly what I need, and I can tell them this is exactly what they need. How do they get more of you? I mean, in terms of, we know they can go to our website and read about you and that type of thing. So talk to us about your website, programs you have going on, seminars that you're doing, other books you have coming out, whatever else it is. If someone wants more piece of William Patterson, what's going on? How can they get more of you?
We have a comprehensive, fully integrated program for entrepreneurs, whether you're at the beginning stage and you're looking for that business idea, or whether you're running a multi-million dollar corporation. We have programs that will walk you through every stage of business development. So we show you how to choose the right entity structure or structures, how to capitalize those structures with business credit that doesn't require a personal guarantee, whether you're looking to pull in debt or equity financing for the business, choose the right marketing mix and strategies, on to designing an exit strategy for your company, whether that's selling the business, franchising it, or taking it public. We offer all of those services to walk you through those different stages. And people can find out more about us by visiting us online at baronseries.com. And I'll spell that for people, baronseries.com, baronseries.com. They can also call toll-free 888-90-BARON. That's 888-90-BARON. And then we also offer workshops, live events, and teleseminars and webinars. And we have specific programs geared toward women entrepreneurs. We have specific programs geared toward youth entrepreneurs as well. So a lot of great programs and a lot of niche programs down to the sales team development, emotional intelligence, conceptual age thinking, and so forth. So we have a great mix of programs. So no matter where you are, whether you're doing a T-shirt business in Florida or a manufacturing plant in China, you'll find something that you can take advantage of.
Fantastic. William, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Great knowledge you share with everybody. Guys, I hope you really got some great information today. You took some notes. If not, you know this is going to be in the archives in just a couple of days. And please come back with us tomorrow with here Entrepreneurial Excellence.
This is William R. Patterson, wealth coach and national best-selling co-author of The Baron Sun. I hope you found the lessons and insights from this interview enlightening and profitable. I now invite you to complete the information request form in the workshops and coaching section of baronseries.com to learn how you can use Baron Wealth Coaching to rapidly achieve your business and financial goals. At baronseries.com, we've developed one of the most effective, integrated approaches to building wealth in the world. With expert guidance and over 200 accelerators, Baron Wealth Coaching can help you quadruple the speed at which you reach your business and financial goals over planning yourself and other methods and programs. For more information on Baron Wealth Coaching, visit baronseries.com/coaching.htm or call 888-90-BARON. That's toll-free 888-90-BARON.